And thank you all for coming on what is called a Labor Day weekend. But we know that the true labor is Amolah Shel Torah. So we'll be spending some time in Amolah Shel Torah on Labor Day weekend here in our yeshiva. One of the most important topics that Rabbanim have to deal with in Yom Kippur, in a practical vein, is someone who is ill and unable to fast. So the Mishnah tells us, source number one, Misha Chazo Bulmus, someone who was sick on Yom Kippur, Machilin also Afilu Drom Tumeyim. Not only can you give him food on Yom Kippur, you can even give him something which is not kosher, if that's what's necessary in order to solve his medical problem. Very important, Yisod. We know that Bikuach Nefesh is so important, of paramount importance, that it actually pushes aside all of the other violations in the Torah, save for three. And indeed, in source number three, it says over there, they cite the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Mipneishu safek nefashos, v'chol safek nefashos dochas haShabbos." Not only is it docha Yom Kippur, it's also docha Shabbos. Not only if it's certainty. If you don't do this, he's going to die. If you do it, he's going to live. That's a no-brainer. Even if it's a suffix, if you're not sure, it's still docha Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, this is a very important principle. And we're very, very vigilant. Very vigilant. We don't say, the Gemara says on the second line over here in source number three, li'akev ad li'urta, ki hechid lo nechal ole tre shabta. If you wait till night, you'll end up being docha one Shabbos and not two Shabbosim. No, we don't wait. Right now the person's life is in danger. We don't ask any questions. We run right away to save his life. And we are taught the same thing in a braisa. Safek nefashos dochas haShabbos. Not only that, but the Gemara tells us that this should be done not by surrogates. We should do it ourselves. Not through Nachrim or Kusim, but through Gedolei Yisrael. Not through Nashim or Kusim. You do it yourself. And the quicker the better. Bikuach Nevesh B'Shabbos, Hazoriz Areza Meshubach, V'Ein Tzorach Litol Rishus V'Bezdin. You don't have to go to ask a question by a Rav or a Bezdin. If you sense that someone's life is in danger, even potential, even doubtful danger, run to do whatever has to be done. What has to be done? Whatever you do on Sunday, you do on Shabbos. That's the general rule. No distinction is drawn as a general rule if someone's life is on the line. And as we shall see presently, the same yisod of Docha Shabbos is really related to Docha Yom Kippur as well. And the Gemara tells us in source number four, how do we know that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos? So the first source is Machteres. What's Machteres? Someone is borrowing under your cellar. We're not sure why he's coming. He wants to take money. Would he actually shoot you if you stood in his way? What's the din? You have to shoot him first. We all know the din. Sukkim and Parshas Mishpatim. So if it's a case of Safek, and still you can do such a serious violation of Pikuach of Shvichas Damim, Kavachomel Pikuach Nefesh Adoches HaShabbos. A number of other sources are brought, and finally the Gemara suggests the style rule, the famous one, Shmos Laman Aleph. V'shamu b'nei Yisrael as haShabbos. Chal olam haShabbos achas, k'nei sheyishmor Shabbos as harbe. It's a worthwhile investment to desecrate one Shabbos so the person can keep many Shabbosos. Says the Gemara, v'kulu istu pirchot bar b'dishmur. All of these derivations have a pirchot, that's a problem, except for Shmur. What does Shmur say? V'yikru yodches, v'chai b'hem, v'lo sheyamos b'hem. That's the famous derivation that the Torah is given to live and not to die. Why is this such a critical derivation with all the others? So the Gemara explains. Last four lines. Ashrichon vadai safek minola. All the other derivations are referring to a case of clear pikuach nefesh. Someone's going to die for sure. So then you can do whatever you have to be whatever must be done. However, when it comes to Shabbos, or Yom Kippur for that matter, even if the chances of the person dying are very small, doesn't matter. You have to be Mechal Shabbos, you have to eat Yom Kippur, even if there's the tiniest chance that the person will Chalila V'chaz die if you do not eat Yom Kippur or if you do not Mechal Shabbos. This is the first three sources which come from the Gemara in Masechta Yuma, the Masechta all about Yom Kippur. Very important yourself. Now, there is a fundamental question which Lamdanim have been discussing for years, which is extremely relevant to our discussion. And that is, whenever we say that Pikuach Nefesh sets aside either Shabbos or Yom Kippur, or other violations for that matter, is it what we call in our language Hutra or Dechuya? Now these concepts of Hutra and Dechuya have been fleshed out in the Talmud in a totally different context. Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, Tuma Dechuya B'tzibur, in the Beis HaMikdash, that's not our discussion right now. We're borrowing the vocabulary from those Talmudic discussions. Let me explain the difference. Dechuya comes from an expression we know, esei docha lo sasei. An esei pushes aside a lo sasei. Says the Gemara, that's only if ef shalakayim shneim. You can't keep both. So there's no recourse, there's no choice between a rock and a hard place. Esei docha lo sasei. Here too, if pikuach nefesh and Shabbos Yom Kippur is dechuya, you're between a rock and a hard place. You want to keep Shabbos Yom Kippur, but you want to save a life. So the saving of the life pushes aside, if there's no alternative, the prohibitions of Shabbos, Yom Kippur, and Tarfus, as we started with, respectively. That's what's called Dechuya. If it's Dechuya, gentlemen, we should do whatever we can to avoid doing the Melach on Shabbos, to avoid eating Yom Kippur, to avoid eating non-kosher, if at the same time we can preserve the life. However, there's another way to look at things. It's called Hutra. What does hutra mean? Hutra means something that's completely permissible. Totally permissible. Not that it's being pushed aside. Just to give the example that the Gemara gives. And Rashi quotes in the Chumash. We do avoda in Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Every Shabbos, the Yom HaShabbos Shnei Chavosim, Aloha Satama Veniska, we just said it yesterday. It's the pshat that, you know, we have no recourse. No. The Torah HaKadosh said, every single Shabbos, you have to bring these various korbanos. That's what we call in our language, hutra. That is some kind of a, just happened to be a coincidence of two things. That today is Yom Kippur and the person has to eat. Today is Shabbos, has to go to the hospital. Those are coincidences. But when it comes to avoda on Shabbos, it's every single Shabbos. The Torah ordains these avodas. We call that in our language, hutra. I hope it's clear, this distinction. So here's a question to answer in our situation. We're discussing two things, actually three things. Eating treif, that's how we started, throwing tamayim, whether Yom Kippur or not. Eating on Yom Kippur, and the Mechal Shabbos. Are these things hutra, are they dechuya? That's a very serious question, as we shall see soon. Not far from a theoretical question, it's tremendous practical import. Okay, so let's turn our attention to source number 11. Glad of order. Shalom es arayvet zal. Chol sheyesh bo sakonim lo yochal basar. Someone is in danger, and he has to eat meat, for the Shabbos, Yom Kippur. Im yesh the fun of the vela, the ein shochot, im lo shenishchot b'shabbos. What should we do? Some say, yesh omer, mutav sheyavar hu alav le nevela, mishayavar acher im al isa skila. We know in the hierarchy of prohibitions, Shabbos is a much more serious prohibition. It's an Issur Skila. And the Vela is a lesser prohibition. Where do we find the idea of opting for a lesser prohibition as opposed to a more serious one? That's the Gemara on source number one. Back to source number one for a moment. Tana Ravonan, the second one. Last line, Mishachazo Bulmas. Machilin also hakal hakal, or as it's known in the literature, hakal hakal tchila. The most lenient goes first. And they give examples. Tevel and nevela, give him nevela. Tevel the shvius, you give him shvius. You give him the lesser of the violations. Tevel is misa b'nei shemayim, nevela and shvius are less, and therefore we go for the kal hakal. So some said, listen, to give him nevela is a lesser violation than to actually shecht on Shabbos. This is what was proposed to the Ravid. And the Rabbi gives his own answer, which we're not going to go into right now. simply for the lack of time. Fascinating answer. The Rosh quotes his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Meir. Rabbeinu Meir is Rabbeinu Meir of Rotenburg. And he says as follows. It's the fifth line of source number 11. Rabbeinu Meir heishim b'tshuva azeh behebi dimion me'ochol nefesh b'yomtov. The shochna b'yomtov. We slaughter, we cook, whatever it may be, on Yom Tov. Dika asei v'losa asei, b'yusa malacha. U'machal nevel and ein bo'el alav. Olomu l'nachri linchar ofos t'lek ele isa d'rabonim. And shchit lof and atorah. So what are we doing over here? Person wants to eat chicken on Rosh Hashanah. Let him ask a guy to just kill the chicken. It's an isa d'rabonim. And they can avoid an isa d'araisa of cooking, a shechting cooking. Let's take the shechting. Shechting on Yom Tov. So Rambam, that's ridiculous. El keva da Torah hitir alonu ochal nevesh b'Yom Tov. Havel adidan kol ochal nevesh b'Yom Tov. Kemo b'chol. Slaughtering a chicken 2 weeks hence in Rosh Hashanah is like slaughtering the chicken today. No distinction whatsoever. Ochal nevesh b'Yom Tov is what we call hutra. Hutra means the same as a weekday. So too. Pikuach nefesh, says the Marami Wittenberg, kol malacha she'osa b'shabes b'shulchola she'esh b'sakana, ki'ilu asa b'chol. Resounding words. The Marami Wittenberg sounds clearly to be saying that pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is what? Is it t'chuy or hutra? What does he say? Hutra. Hutra. So what about eating treif? He says like this. There's two isurim. Here's not, there's not tzutra. There's no isurim. Contrast is the shchuta, ushuta hamachal mutter, hetagam. Avol hanevela, hamachal atzmo osur, va'ari revia alo atkan. What does that mean? That although the Torah permits us to eat nevela, to save a life, that is only dechuya. Only one problem. Marami Wittenberg is very eloquent, very decisive, very clear. Just doesn't tell us how to know it. How is he so sure that pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is hutra? And how is he so sure that eating treif is dechuya? He doesn't tell us. Doesn't explain to us where it's coming from. I'm going to propose that his source goes back to the previous page that we saw together. Source number four. Source number four begins Minayla Pikuach Nefesh Adochas HaShas. The final source, the best source, is V'chai Behem, V'yikru Yitches, V'lo Shiyamus Behem. It seems to me quite clearly that V'chai Behem, V'lo Shiyamus Behem, that's what we call Dechuya. You don't want a person to die. Your back is against the wall. So rather than have him die, you're going to do whatever has to be done. Eat treif, eat Yom Kippur, be machal Shabbos, whatever it may be. But we have no right to assume hutra based on v'chai behem. That's only the last resort. He shouldn't die. However, the earlier sources are, for example, Baba Machteres. That's one we saw. Rabbi Kiva has a different one. Me'im Mizbechi. And some derived from Shabbos Bnei Yisrael as HaShabbos, a whole series of derivations, some derived from Mila. Those derivations I would like to propose are in the category of Hutra. The Torah permits it. The Torah doesn't say there's no alternative. As a matter of fact, Baba Machteres, there really is an alternative. What's the alternative, gentlemen? Give up your money. Very good, see. Give up your money. There is an alternative. Despite the fact that there's an alternative to give up your money, the Torah permits you, the Rambam calls it a reshus, permits you to kill the intruder. So by definition, that's considered to be hutra. So if you derive Chilul Shabbos from that source, it's going to be considered in the category of hutra. Hence, the Marami Wittenberg feels that pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is hutra, and pikuach nefesh in other areas, just based on exclusively on v'chai bohem, would be presumably dechuya. That's his chiddush. I have to tell you that this is a chiddush on two levels. One, it draws distinction between various yisurim. And two, the Gemara said, Ashkechan vadai safek minola. You get an impression that the only source that we have to rely upon when Safek Pikuach Nefesh is Dochah Shabbos is V'chai Behem. This leads to a following remarkable conclusion, which many poskim in fact accept. Namely, that Vadai Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is Hutra. Safek Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is only what? The Chuyah. Because it's only derived from V'chai Behem. From V'chai Behem. I would like to, since we're on this topic, mention this in passing, that it seems to me that the word vadai in this context does not mean 100%. It's never 100%. You never know the person's going to die if you don't intervene. You never know who's going to live if you do intervene. I would like to propose that vadai in this context means a majority. A more than 51% chance, rubo kukulo, is considered to be a majority. And my source, interestingly, I forgot to have it put on the list, is a Tosefta in this, I believe in the 16th parak of Masechta Shabbos, which is cited on the side of the Gemara Masechta Yuma over here on that Pehe. And there the Tosefta says that Baba Machteres is considered to be in the category of Safek. Our Gemara puts it into the category of Vada. Well, which one is it? Is there a Machlokus in the Metzias? Whether it's Safek or Vada? So the our Gemara says it's considered to be a situation of vadai. My Ashkechan vadai suffered minola. Was it a vadai? Next to the last line in source 4, my time of the Machteres. Chazaka ein odom ma'amir atzmo alma mono. A person cannot steadily buy when his money is being taken. Vahai made the yod of the korlape. The intruder has every expectation that the house, the landlord will stand in his way. And he says to himself, if he does, the Omar, Ikor la poi katilnale. If he stands in my way, I'm going to kill him. That's a chazaka. What's a chazaka? Chazaka, what does it mean over here, chazaka? A presumption. Or is it possible to call a chazaka bo mikoach rov? Mitam rov. The majority of cases is this way. So Agamar calls it over here a vada. Was the Tosefta and Shabbos, was it a Safek? I find on the facts, no. It's a Vadai in a sense that's a majority. It's a Safek and it's not a certainty. The question is, where do you put this this kind of a majority situation? Assuming we pass from like Talmud Bavli, that's considered to be a Vadai. So even if it's a majority chance that intervention is necessary to save one's life, it would be considered to be Hutra, as opposed to a minority chance, which very likely may be only Dechuyah. And there could be differences, halacha l'maisa. What's the difference, halacha l'maisa, whether we should, whether we consider it to be hutra or dechuya? One possibility is, should we do it ourselves, or get someone else to do it for us? We already saw you should do it through a Jewish person, and not through a non-Jewish person. It's not so clear in the Shulchan Aruch whether this is true. How should we handle such situations? According to some authorities, if it's Vadai Pikuach Nefesh, which is Hutra, we should certainly do it ourselves. It's a mitzvah for sure. Why should we give it away to somebody else? If it's only Safek, it's a minority chance, then some say, look, you're between a rock and a hard place. You Michal Shabbos. But if there's another option, that someone who's not Jewish should do it, then that person should be asked to do it. The poskim do say, however, and we had a case like this in camp this past summer, if you do that, you make a public statement that this individual is doing it in this particular instance, but if you wouldn't be around and there would be no one else to do it, a Jewish person would do it, and as I phrase it, I would do it myself. I'd be the first one to drive to the hospital on Shabbos because it's absolutely a mitzvah to save someone's life. Because it was a very remote chance of Pikuach Nefesh, it was a suffix, and there was also a question of driving back, which is not our topic for today, so it was done through a non-Jewish individual. It's all very important, halachas, and I'm saying it publicly, because it says in Mishnah Berurah, Nichol Shabbos, based upon the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Yerushalmi, that if someone asks questions on Shabbos, before being Mechal on Shabbos, Chalila V'chas, he's called a shofar from him, until he asks this question, the person can expire, and Hanishal, the one who's asked the question, the rabbi, Harezem Maguna. Why is he Maguna? He's considered as despicable. Why? He should have publicized to a greater extent that Pikuach Nefesh is Dochah Shabbos, as we saw before, Ein Tzorach L'Mech Bebez. Just go, run, shoot first and ask questions later. So I'm now telling you to a war. I've said it in my shul many, many times. My shul, they know it, run.
But since I'm talking to a wider audience, I'm taking advantage of the opportunity not to be considered a maguna. If someone asks me a question, go. If you have a doubt, just do it, and we'll ask the rabbi later when you do the right thing. But this, we don't take any chance when it comes to pikuach nefesh. Let us continue in this remarkable discussion of hutra versus dechuya. And here's where it comes to be extremely relevant. We said before from the Marami Wittenberg, again, cited in the Rush, source number 11, a distinction between macholas asurus, which is dechuya, presumably because it's based on v'chai b'hem and v'chai b'hem only, and Shabbos, based presumably on the other derivations, which is hutra. There could be an additional distinction between the derivation of v'chai b'hem and the additional derivations, and that's as follows. What happens if it's only a suffix? We mentioned before that a suffix is only derived from v'chai b'hem, but cannot be derived from, for example, Chal Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishma Shabbos Asharim. Cannot be derived? Okay. Take a look, interestingly, in source number 8, coming out of left field. This is a basis of a tremendous chiddush in the Netziv. The Netziv, in the Hamek Shela, has a tremendous chiddush. One of the sources is this, number 8. The question is as follows. Aliyahu HaNavi is a Kohen. So Malakon Beis HaKvaros, a famous citation. So Tosi has a question, came on the read. Hey, Hechir B'Nashal Almona, Kevin Shekorin Hoya, Ba'yismodin Al Hayola, we also have Torah. How is it done? V'yishloma, Sheyaboru Lo, Sheyichayeyu, L'kach Ha'amut L'mishim Pekuach Nefesh. Al Yonah was sure we could resuscitate him, and therefore he did it. He asked the Nesiv, why certainty? Who needs certainty? Even if it was not certain he could succeed in achieving an effect of Tchias HaMeisim. So what? Even on a small chance, we should say, Ein Holcha B'Pikuach Nevesh Achar Haro. It's a tremendous kasha. Answer the Netziv, no. This idea of Sofek Minayin is only derived from V'chai B'hem. V'chai B'hem only applies to someone who's presently alive. If you're now alive, we say V'chai B'hem, to preserve life. Here we are creating new life, the person that died. And therefore, you have to base it upon the other derivations. For example, Chal Shabbos Achas, then Sheishma Shabbos Harbe. And for this, we require a certainty. That's a remarkable interpretation of the Tosfos, which is given by the Hamek Shel. And he brings another proof from the Rush. The Rush could be found over here. Take a look, please, in the Rush. This is source number 9 towards the end. It's on page. What's called there, page 3. Okay. So actually it really starts on page 2, towards the bottom, the last line of page 2. Cause of the Rabban, quotes the Baal Halachas Gedolos, the Mishim Sakonas Havlad Lechudei Mechalalim, Afilu Leka Lamechas Ledidah. That if we're afraid of the Vlad dying, the fetus dying, we'll be Mechal Shabbos Yom Kippur, even if there's no way that the mother will die. The context over here is the sugya in Yuma, that you have to feed a pregnant woman if otherwise she's going to lose the child. So it's the Baal Halachas Gedolos. And there's a whole discussion going on to page 3. Yes, no, or maybe. So there were those who disagree. Fine. Perhaps we'll come back to it a little bit later, the status of a pregnant woman today. But the language of the Baal Halachos, Mishum Sakanas Vlad L'chudei Mechalim Afilu Leka L'meichash L'dido, the Netziv as a derivation, it's only Sakanas Vadai. When it comes to the woman, use the word lemechash, any possibility of danger. When it comes to the Vlad, he said sakana, not mechash. What's he conveying an impression? That the only time it's permissible to save, to be mechal Shabbos Yom Kippur, to avoid the mother miscarrying, is only if it's what we call a vadai. Now I said before vadai is more than 50%. I never use the word vadai. Okay, fine. Question is why? Same question. Ein holger the pikuach nefesh achar a rov, an important principle. We don't follow a majority, even a minority case of Mechal Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So the Nesiv, exactly the same answer. That if someone is Mechai Bam, who's presently alive, an independent organism. We're discussing here a fetus. A fetus is a dependent organism. A fetus is not yet considered to be a full nefesh. If someone is guilty of abortion, it's a Torah prohibition, but it's not a capital offense. The Mishnah Yom and Nida says Tinok Ben Yomo, you get killed if you kill them, but not for a fetus. Therefore, since it's not a full independent neshama yet, you would not be Mechal Shabbos based upon V'chai V'hem or Yom Kippur, and it's only permissible based upon the Shamru, and that requires a Vadai, which I interpret to be a Rov, as opposed to a Mir. So the Tzim has two proofs, one from this lesson of the Baha Lachos Gedolos, and one from a faraway Tosin above a Metziah, about Eliyahu HaNavi. That's his Yisod. But if it's a person who's alive independently, then we apply V'chai V'hem. If not, either the person already died, or the person hasn't yet been born, we cannot apply V'chai V'hem. You need a Vados, which we are saying means a majority, based upon Shabbos Achaz and Shabbos Asharim. So that's the Netziv. Oh. So now we come to discuss some of the practical halacha l'maaseh cases which come up to Rabbanim day in and day out these days. Let's start with Shulchan Aruch number 12. Ubros u'menikos v'sanos u'mashlimos v'yom ha-kippurim. Black and white. A pregnant woman has to fast and complete the fast on Yom Kippur. It was a very famous Rav in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, Zatzal, who was a bezdin in the Badatz. He paskined against the Shulchan Aruch. He can get away with it from the Badatz. He paskined against the Shulchan Aruch, and he said that nowadays all pregnant women should eat on Yom Kippur. He said, Rebbe, it's against the Gemara, it's against the Shulchan Aruch. He responded, that's very nice, but you come to my house after Yom Kippur, and people have unfortunately lost a baby, because I would tell them to fast, you know why I changed my psak. Wow. Powerful words. Apparently, according to his understanding, women today have gotten weaker, and the chances of miscarriage are greater than it was in the times of the Talmud. Sounds counterintuitive. We have so much prenatal care. We have air conditioning. We have so many different things which should make it easier. So the Tzitz Eliezer, Zatzal, or Waldenberg, argues with Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher. Says he's wrong. He'll tell me that there were some cases, I think he quoted tens of cases that he dealt with over the years where there were miscarriages. So the answer is, says Rabbi Waldenberg, in effect, there are miscarriages without fasting Yom Kippur. And the percentages are so small, it's just off the charts. The poskim say, your Mechal Shabbos is 1 in 1,000. Echad min yelf. But 1 in 1,000,000? So then you can't cross the street. You know, so apparently there's a dispute in this vein between Rav Fisher and all the other Rabbanim. They think he's wrong, and they say you have to try to fast. Again, if the woman is faint, she feels she's going to dehydrate, she's hyperventilating, she's just going about to faint, she certainly must eat on Yom Kippur, not even a question about it. However, lechatchila, ideally, the woman who's pregnant should be advised to try to fast if possible. And if it's impossible, she feels again faint, or she's dehydrating, or she's hyperventilating, whatever it may be, she has to break her fast. But it's important to know this halacha. It's interesting. There's a dispute between our Fisher Zatzal and the Habdab and Chaim of Nebensal Shalita from one extreme to the other. So our rabbis can have opposite opinions. When our Fisher said what he said, it's printed in the introduction to one of the Sfarim, that a woman must eat on Yom Kippur if she's pregnant until the 9th month. The 9th month, she should fast. Why should she fast? You can figure it out for yourself. Big deal. She'll give birth. Great. Mazel tov. Mazel tov. Interestingly, Rabbi Fisher was right. There's a study which was printed in JAMA, 1983 or 4, I believe, a long time ago, where they did a study in Shaare Tzedek Hospital, whether fasting leads to more deliveries than usual on Yom Kippur. And there they have a lot of people fasting on Yom Kippur. And the study yielded the only statistically significant elevation in childbirth Motzei Yom Kippur was for people, for women, in their ninth month. This leads me to conclude that Diane Fisher is incorrect in his medical evaluation. It's not statistically significant, the number of these preterm labor that he's describing. I mean, anything can happen once in a blue moon. But it's not significant on the survey which they did. And they did it with thousands of women. And Shari said it's a big place. A lot of, they're delivering all over the hallways there, if you know what's going on in that house. It's all over the place. And they only found it, people in the ninth month delivering early, right after Yom Kippur. And therefore, he's right in permitting it in the ninth month, because it's not dangerous, but his presumption earlier does not seem to be correct. Rav Nevin Sal Shalita, as quoted in a sefer called Mikroi Kodesh by Rabbi Harari, in Meretz Yisrael for Merkos HaRav, is exactly the reverse. A pregnant woman should fast, of course, says with the Mishnah, until the ninth month. In the ninth month she has to eat and drink. Why? Let her have a baby. It's true. But it's not good to go into labor when you're weak, in a weakened state. So he says you have to eat to go into labor strong. Now, all the OBGYNs that I spoke to were never worried about this. So maybe Rav Nevental has some history on the side he wasn't describing to us, but the Pshuto, they're both right and they're both wrong. Diane Fish is right in the last month. Rav Nevental is right in the first 8 months. So she should always fast. Okay? And unless, again, it's a special case. And here's a very important point about all breaking fast and cure, which is found in source number... Source number 18. Very important. In source number 18, line 2, Mashakaza v'Shulchan Aruch, Afilu hu akum. Shulchan Aruch had said earlier that we rely on a, if you look at source 15, it's in the previous page, Chola shetzarech lechol in yesh p'sham rofei boki afilu hu akum, sh'oim lo yachilu also efsha sh'yachbar ala v'choli v'yistakim, a chance of sakana, says the Shulchan Aruch, Machilin also apiv. Okay, you rely upon the non-Jewish doctor who's a bakri, who has an MD degree. It says the Bir Alacha number 18, line 3. Kasa b'seva tiferes Yisrael. The ha'iv na yesh dis yashiv v'dov. Not so simple. The be'enai ra'isi d'shavke lehem nusayu. They're not reliable. The l'chol choli kal omrim tomin. Shekishe is ana yistakein. They say it routinely. Any small little illness, they say right away, if he's going to fast, he's going to go into danger. So it's the Ramatz and the Ruach Chaim. And here it goes. Gam in Rofe Yisrael, even for Jewish doctors. Shahar be mehem chashudim laver al divrei Torah. Ulechal al Shabbos. They themselves not fasting Yom Kippur, they're not observant. Rav, can you rely upon them? Uve'emes hadavar toli lefi ra'os eine hamore eso inyem. As the Mat Ephraim says, you have to have someone who is an expert. This has only been compounded by today's new reality. Every doctor knows what I mean. It's one word. One word. Three syllables. Malpractice, of course. Every doctor is scared of malpractice. They're afraid to say, every OBGYN is afraid to say he can fast. Because if chas v'shalom is a miscarriage, which could have happened even anyway, right away, sue for malpractice. It's a problem. You can't get a straight answer that someone's going to give without that fear. I try to ask for this reason, outside doctors, who are not liable for malpractice. This is the situation. This is described to me. Some OBGYNs will tell every single woman that she's not out of fist. Such a doctor, we discredit them. It's against the Mishnah. It's against the Gemara, I should say. Against the Shulchan Aruch. Diane Fisher holds that way. But we don't accept that. An OBGYN who says, no, Most women who are pregnant, they're allowed to fast. No problem. This woman not. This woman has a condition A, B, or C. That doctor I always listen to. Because that doctor has credibility. Since he or she says that I would recommend that a typical woman who's pregnant should fast. So when she says, but not this one, then you have to listen to what they say. Because they've established their credibility in this respect. Okay? So these are just give examples of what we, as Rabban, have to deal with. And the phone rings off the hook before Yom Kippur because, you know, ooh, these questions come up on a regular basis, you know. My father doesn't know, my mother doesn't know, don't tell anybody that I'm pregnant. You know, these guys got these questions. A rabbinic confidentiality. And whatever it is, but these are important questions. They should be asked. They have to be asked these questions. Very important questions. Okay? This talks about, as far as a mu'uberes is concerned. As again, we said before, we are concerned even if the mother's life is not in danger, there's only an issue of a miscarriage, and we reject the Nitziv's lumdus. Even if there's only a small chance of a miscarriage, we still will allow someone to eat on Yom Kippur. This is our custom. There is an interesting question of how much do you eat on Yom Kippur? There is a long discussion in the Gemara. How much do you eat? Let's take a look in 15, what's called Siv Zayin. Okay, page 15, Siv Zayin. Source number 15, Siv Zayin. Shemachilin es ha'ubro oso asachole, machilin oso ma'at ma'at. Kidei shelo yitztarif l'shir. A little bit at a time. You give them 2/3 of a beitza beinonis, 2/3 of the average egg. The yishu kidei achilas arvoa beitza. And you wait, what's called kidei achilas pras. Shtia, how much do you drink? Well, it's personalized. Yivdeku ba'chol ha'atzmo kami shkidei yisalkenu litzad echad v'yeroa kim lalugva. How much fills up one of your cheeks. And you give him papas mikashir, and you should again wait, kedei achilas pras. This is what it says in the Shulchan Aruch with respect to an ubra, a pregnant woman, and he throws in, es hachola, someone who is sick, as well. We'll come back to this, shortly. Now, on the next page, page number 4, the person should examine the lalugma before Yom Kippur, and you check on your clock, on your zeger, on your watch. Kama minutin hu shoa b'shir achilas dalet beitzim. A very big chiddush in the Mishnah Berurah, which most posts can reject. He seems to personalize kedei achilas pras as well. Some eat more quickly, some more slowly. Most authorities reject that. U'b'shir azeh yishav Yom Kippur ben achila l'achila. And how much is it? The Chasam Sofer says, amazing shir, tes minutin, 9 minutes, is shir achilas pras. Wow. 9, that's a very big shir. But, since Chasam Sofer said it, we try, if possible, to maintain that shir. So what do? We tell every person who is sick and who's able to survive on less than a shir. I'm being very careful over here. That's only if possible. If the doctor says eat a lot, eat a lot. But some of the doctor will say, it's enough to have a little bit at a time, eating and drinking. So I tell them, you wake up, usually most of them fast at night, because they ate a big meal before. As soon as you wake up in the morning, start eating and drinking. This is what's called papas mikashir. If the alternative is, you're going to have to break your fast completely. It's a matter of dispute. Some disagree with me and say, no, wait till you've reached a state of danger, and then eat completely, eat even more than a shir, rather than try to preempt the necessity to eat a complete shir, but eating less than a shir early in the morning. I believe that it's permissible and recommended if you know for a fact you have to break your fast if you don't eat early in the morning small amounts. Better to eat smaller amounts early in the morning than to definitely have to break your fast and eat a larger amount later in the day. Again, not everyone agrees with me, but that's what I think is the psalm. Let's say the person wakes up at 8 o'clock in the morning. Right, you look at the clock, 8 o'clock, quickly, you have less than a shir of solids. And you can have less than a shear of liquids. It says over here, achila reshtia ein mitzdarfin. You don't have to wait in between eating and drinking. 8 o'clock. Then it's a little handy, just the easy way to do it technically speaking. Whenever the last digit is a zero, you can do the same, you can repeat. 8 o'clock, 8:10, 8:20, 8:30, 8:40, till you've eaten so much. I can't eat anymore. It's more than I eat in the plane day. So, That's permissible. If by having it every 10 minutes, because it's a zero, you know, at least every 9 minutes, which is what the Chasam Sofer requires. How much is a shear? How much is a shear? So we see over here, it should be about the size of 2/3 of an egg. Well, who has ever measured an egg recently? This is cubic centimeters, cc's. It's a volume measurement. So 2/3 of an egg is approximately one shot glass, about 30 cc's. So it's permissible to eat the volume of 30 cc's and then wait 10 minutes and repeat. So most people either own a disposable shot glass, which says on the bottom, one fluid ounce, which is 32 cc's approximately, or it's a metric measurement. Have one of those around, either it be a disposable, you have many of them around, or you have one which you measured before Yom Kippur, which is one fluid ounce. You can pack it with your favorite food, whatever you like the best. And that's another machlok. Some say you have to have the food you hate, because you're not supposed to enjoy it on Yom Kippur. And then others say, no, you should eat whatever is healthiest, but even if you like it, it's also good. What's healthy for you? Have it at 8 o'clock in the morning. At the same time, you should drink. What should you drink? Whatever you want to drink. It's interesting, if you only have to drink, for example, some pregnant woman, the fear is dehydration. I think I'm correct, so the doctor will confirm what I'm saying. That's the primary fear is dehydration. Dehydration, I'm told, the best liquid to avoid dehydration is H2O, water. Not just plain water. And water has another halachic advantage. It's interesting. Water which is drunk when a person is not thirsty does not even warrant a bracha. Hashosa mayim litzmo. It's different than orange juice. Let's see, you have to say taking a pill. And it's drinking it down with orange juice, you make a shahakal. If you drink it down with water, you're not thirsty, you don't make a bracha. It's at least arguable, I'm not saying it's a halacha, lemaisa, but it's arguable that water, if someone is drinking it for purely medical reasons, may not even be a violation in the first place. If you want to be even more brave, the poskim say you should try to have the water which is not tasty. Which is not tasty. There's certain kind of water which is supposed to be healthy, super healthy water, which has certain minerals in it, which I'm told the average individual would not be so happy with. That may be considered to be mashkim she'enem ruya l'shtiyah. If you want to be more strict, you can put in some OU soap. You know, they have these, that's why that says OU on it. Yeah. A little bit of the dishwashing. Once in a while, if someone is using the dishwashing soap and to wash the glasses and they forgot to rinse it out carefully, you'd have a cup of water. Ooh, it tastes like soap. So I'm not, some put quinine in it, all kinds of different things to make it not tasty. Most poskim assume it's even minimally not tasty. It's sufficient to kind of mineral waters, which you can buy. That would be even better because it's anaroi, it's only the rabbana. Chatzi shir is asur min haTorah. Again, water may be different, but it's not completely clear. And then you can have that at 8 o'clock in the morning and repeat it at 8:10. So you can keep having how much water. So you have to know what fills up your cheek. Gentlemen, I do not recommend you do an experiment. It's so hard to experiment. My cheek is bigger, my cheek is smaller. Let's look in the books, see what the books say. So the books, when they describe what is a malo lugmo, which is a shear, they say it's a row revius, the majority of a revius. What is a revius? Well, a revius is what's called beitza or machza. What's a beitza? We said before, beitza is it's about 50 cc's. So a revius is about 75 cc's. And the majority of that would be, you figure it out, 38 cc's. But since people are bigger and people are smaller, maybe your cheek is smaller than average, they give exactly the same shear, 30 cc's, the same shot glass. That's, you're playing it safe. The same shot glass you can use for solids, you can use for liquids, 8, 810, 820, 830 down the road. This should be done if the alternative would be to break the fast completely with a larger amount, even if it's going to be a later time Yom Kippur, if it's for certain. If it's not for certain, so take a chance. And now I'm feeling okay. Maybe I get through the whole Yom Kippur, and I'll see how I feel. I had a question just recently from someone who's a diabetic, and he said, listen, you'll see how it plays. You have to make sure your sugar is in the right level, and you can try it. But if you have a sugar low, you have to eat a ton. You can't play around with these little cups. You can't play around. You have to eat it a lot. But I'm an optimist and a gambler. Because since there's a possibility that the person will be able to get through the whole Yom Kippur, you know, with proper medical supervision, take a chance, and if you can't, you'll have a lot. But if you know for a fact you have got a heart condition or some kind of a pregnancy condition, or whatever the condition, you know for a fact you're going to have to break the fast. Not even a shiloh. The question is break it in little pieces starting from the morning, or break it later on in large quantities. There are some who have to opt for the second option on the grounds that in the morning you're not yet a whole shesh b'sakana. You have no right to eat anything. And my view is, no. If you know for a fact you have to break the fast before Yom Kippur is over, you're already now, in the morning, you're already cholesh yesh b'sakana, and it's better to do it pachas mikashir. Fine. What's remarkable is that everything I'm saying now is against the brisket tradition. I love the brisket tradition, as you probably know. I learned the brisket tradition. Reb Chaim of Brisk was an incredibly lenient when it came to fasting Yom Kippur and Shabbos. There's even a story when the Rav was a baby, and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's father was hesitant in calling the doctor on Shabbos. The story of Rav Chaim gave him a patch. I said, what are you doing? And he quickly ran to the Bimachal Shabbos. You don't take any chances. I'm not sure if this is apocryphal or not. But in any event, it's what's clear is they were very, very, very careful about these things. And when Rav Chaim was asked, Briskarov, you're known to be a machmir. Why are you suddenly so lenient over here? He gave the famous answer. I'm not lenient about Shabbos. I'm not lenient about Yom Kippur. I'm not lenient about Tarfus. I'm a what? I'm a machmir in Pikuach Nefesh. What a brisker answer. You gotta love it. I was always trained that way. To be a machmir in Pikuach Nefesh. But Reb Chaim's machmir in Pikuach Nefesh went even with Pshuto against the Shulchan Aruch. And that's something which is amazing. This we can see in source number 19, final source, which is taken from a children of Rabbi Avadi Yosef, the Chav Adas. He starts by quoting the Netziv, who quotes the Ramban who said, not only is it true that an ubra, a pregnant woman, should eat less than a shear, if she can, as we just saw, but even any chol, the Rosh, the Ram, the Shulchan Aruch, all quote it. And the Netziv asked, the Rif and the Rambam didn't say that. Line 3, V'nira d'svirlehu, Shedavka l'gabi mu'uberes, Yeshlimu me'asuga decreases your gimel, She'esh losses la'pachas pachas mikashir, as the Bahag says, we saw it earlier. Masha'enken l'gabi chola she'esh basakana, the kaimelon, Hazoriz arezem v'shubach, V'kevin shamdu lechol, Ein lahamtin l'sho'ach eres. You give him right away the full measure, the full measure, the full measure. So, this is what the Netziv suggests. In a particular case, of the first 3 days after childbirth, where the Magen Avraham also requires pachas mikashir, that's ridiculous, suggests the Netziv at the end of this first paragraph. Eina tricha omed. Even if you'll say that you have to give less than a shir for a choleh, or for a Yoledes or from Mu'uberes, that's part of an estimate to figure out, do you need this much, not this much. The first 3 days, we don't even ask the doctors, he ran away. So, Harezit Kdom Alam Dua Shetzricha Lechon Kashir B'Pamachas. And then he says, Kein Shamati Mipi Agon of David Tebel, Shagam Hagoyim Mori Chomi Zikeni Avira Roem, Morena Pchaimi Valojin, Hora Lamaisa Velokam of an Avram. Reb Chaim Volozhin already passing us the Magen Avraham for someone who had a baby within the last 3 days. And then he quotes Rav Zev and Moadim Ba'alacha, Shagon Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, who was Reb Chaim Volozhin's namesake and successor in Volozhin, Kshineskabel Rabba Shal Brisk, Hayomora Ubo Lacholim Shieshim Sakona, Lechol B'Yom HaKippurim Kol Tzorkom. And Beno Agon Reb Yitzchak Zevi Brisk explained it based upon the Rambam and Hilchos Shabbos Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, Cholosh Yesh Bo Sakana, Osim Lo Kol Tzorochov B'Shabbos. He quotes another Rambam, Shabbos Agabe Cholosh Yesh Bo Sakana, Kechol L'Chol Advarim Shu Tzorach Lahem. He quotes the Magad Mishnah there, Afilu Ein B'Miniyas Adavar Ahum Yeshim Sakana, Afal Pi Kein Mutal L'Chal Olam Shabbos. We don't have to count every single ounce. Do you need this ounce of food so you shouldn't die if you don't eat it on Yom Kippur? No. Once you are categorized as a chola sheyesh bo sakana, whatever you want. A mu'uberes, says Rav Chaim and Rav Belville, is not. You see a woman randomly walk on the street, oy vey, a chola sheyesh bo sakana. We don't talk that way. Thank God she's a healthy woman. She's able to have children, Baruch Hashem. A healthy woman. If there are problems, she goes into labor, right? Then it's, of course, you call it an ambulance on Shabbos, not even a question. But when she's walking around, she's not considered a chola yet. She could become a chola. So to prevent her from becoming a chola, then the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch require pachas, pachas, mikashir. But once someone is presently a chola sheyesh bo sakana, osno kol terach, which includes eating or drinking as much as you want. So said Rav Chaim and Rav Belville, again, based upon the Magid Mishnah. Comes up with a remarkable question. Remarkable question is the last four lines of this somewhat lengthy paragraph. Rav Chaim, Mibrisk, the line tells the word Mibrisk. Beautiful brisk line. Mibrisk, al divrei Rav Magid, he's going on the Magid Mishnah. By the way, that was confirmed when Rav Belville's Sefer was printed. This is written Rav Zevin before the Sefer was printed, Rav Belville's Sefer on the Rambam. Shagam dvarim sh'ein bim niyasim sakana. Also the cholah sheish v'sakana. V'lachein gam yom ha-kippurim ein tzorach l'achacha l'cholah sheish v'sakana pachas pachas mikashir. Okay, sounds good, right? No. Im kein ye rabba magid sosiris atzma. Because in Perek Beis and Shvisas also he writes, hiskim l'svaras ramban shagam cholah, even if he's yesh v'sakana, tzorach l'chol pachas pachas mikashir. V'lamet kein me asuga decreases yud gimel gam yom ha-kippurim. Well, the divrei agon chaim brisk. Everyone tells me brisk over here. Yeah, divrei amagid sosrin zezeh. The contradiction in the Magid Mishnah. So now I ask you, Rabbi, so what's the takum shat Magid Mishnah? If the Magid Mishnah says el chol sheyesh bo sakana osum kol tzarachav, we don't have to measure every action that we do whether we would survive with it or without it. No. So then, why can't he only please us on Yom Kippur? It's a great question. Gives a great answer. The last paragraph. Usvila Rabba Magid, Sheshabbos Hutra, Mikabe Pikuach Nefesh. As the Rush quotes, B'Shem Arami Wittenberg. We saw that much earlier today. That Shabbos is Hutra, and when it's Hutra, once you're Machal Shabbos, once it's a Chola, you can do whatever you want. You remember the expression you have? Keva de Hutra Hutra. Once it's Hutra, you can do whatever you want. You have to do action A, you can even do action B. I don't have the time to go into it at great length. This is certainly relevant to a shayla that I had. I spoke about it in the Shabbat Shuva, in my shul. A diabetic. The only way that the diabetic can fast in Yom Kippur is if you take blood sugar counts with a pinprick more frequently. In other words, let's say on a typical day, you take your... It depends on the case. I'm not giving any medical decisions over here. But some diabetics have to check their blood sugar, let's say, three times a day. And if you want to fast from Kippur, you have to check it five times a day. So is it better to fast and check it five times a day? Well, no. Check it three times a day and eat. So one of the positions that I would like to suggest that it's better to fast, which is what the diabetic wants to do in this case, is because since we're already Docha Yom Kippur anyway three times, because otherwise, every single day, up to three times, including Shabbos, including Yom Kippur. So, Yom Kippur, Hol Behutra, Chavala, to take out the blood, Hutra, to do it two more times, as opposed to eating, which we never matter before. Just mentioning in passing, we don't have time to go into it at great length. Let's now see what he says over here. Well, if you said Nirin, She'ein Ledamos Din Zel Achilu Yom Kippur, the Hosam and Yom Kippur, Eino Ela Betoras Dechia. Eating on Yom Kippur is not included in the special din of Shama Shabbos as Harbe. That's a din only when it comes to Shmira Shabbos, Melacha on Shabbos, Melacha on Yom Kippur, Melacha on Yom Kippur. It's all derived from Shabbos. Rambam says the Moadim Abachal Shabbos as Hashem, skipping a line. V'im Kain Yom Kippurim Sheisa Achila B'Mokam Pikuach Nevesh Einu Ela Begeder Dichui. Quote to Rashi and Kiddushin. Therefore, Tzarech Omen Gam Becholah Sheyesh Bo Sakana V'Tzarech Lechol Pachos Pachos Mikashir. Who said this? He's coming from Rabbi Chanan in the Kovetz Aris. And if you understand the Magen Mishnah, what he said, Shabbos, you do Kol Tzarko, because it's Hutra. Yom Kippur, which is the Chuya, eating Yom Kippur, so you cannot do more than is necessary. A beautiful pshat over here to answer the Magen Mishnah, as we pass in Halacha L'maisa, against Abchaim of Brisk, that's almost all Poskim are against Abchaim in this case. Not that we're not Machmer Pikuach Nefesh. Obviously, if there's any question that eating only a less than a Shia is going to cause danger, we're not going to accept any level of danger. The doctor said it's okay. You have to get into your system. This is common when it comes to drinking. You have to drink within the day X amount of liquid. I don't care if you drink it in one shot, or if you sip it, you know, have a shot glass, wait 10 minutes, again, repeat again. I don't care. As long as you get X amount of water into your system over the day, it's good enough for me. So we pass it against Reb Chaim, that you have to do it b'shiurim. Because although chatzi shiur is awesome in the Torah, it's much less of a violation than eating a full shiur, which is chiv carbon. Again, if it wouldn't be a chol, chiv carbon, or worse, if it's not amazing. So this is the psak halacha l'maisa. So, just to summarize, we spent the better part of an hour in some of the ins and outs of a chol of Yom Kippurim. We spoke about Mu'uberes, we spoke about the reliability of doctors, we spoke about Hutra versus the Chuya, we spoke about the Shiurim, and some of the lumbus and some of the practicum when it comes to these things. I repeat again, if there's any doubt in your mind about eating Yom Kippur or about Chilul Shabbos, don't come and ask me any questions. I'm not interested in those questions. Go! If you have a doubt, just go. I should err. If there's no rush, sometimes there's no rush. You know, even in your mind, you have to do something, you know there's no rush. Even on Tuesday there'd be no rush. Then, if you have time to ask, it's a good idea to ask a question.